Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show. Sign Guy and QT here with you like usual on a Sunday afternoon. Some show notes real quick before we jump into things. If you're looking for some wrestling today, WCWC still ongoing with their 26-hour Wrestle for Hunger show. UWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon like usual. BDW in Benwood, West Virginia. AWE in Hamilton, Ontario, RBW in Jenison, Michigan, MWO in Flint, Michigan, BCW in Belleville, Michigan, KDW at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and SPW in Pacifica, California. Without further ado, I would like to welcome to the show our guest today. He comes to us from Kitsap County, Washington. Granted, are you with us?
I am here.
Well,
how are you doing today, Sign Guy?
Doing very well. Thank you for taking time to be with us here on a Sunday afternoon. And today being your first time with us, you'll get the first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting into the professional wrestling business?
Listening to stories from my grandfather when he used to babysit Ric Flair as a toddler in Minnesota, and just grew up watching Ric Flair with him, and here I am today.
Now, when your grandfather babysat Ric Flair, was there any inkling in his mind that he was babysitting someone that was bound to become a professional wrestling legend?
Not at the time, there wasn't. But they sure did turn into one.
True. Now, at what point in your mind did you know that professional wrestling was something that you wanted to pursue as far as active competitor in it?
Say about four or five years ago, going to the Suquamish Championship Wrestling shows and watching the guys work and getting to know everybody, and I just felt like I wanted to be part of it.
Now, you are one of the larger competitors that resides in this area. Did you have anyone training you as far as being a big man? Was it harder for them to train you since there wasn't many people your size?
Yeah, I would believe it took a little more of the training to get me, you know, able to do some of the roles and things like that in the ring. And I mean, 6'6", 300 pounds. You know, I'm definitely not a midget.
That is confirmed. Although we can't confirm the same for your buddy pal, Darth Carter.
No, that is true.
Now, very recently at SCW in Bremerton, you and your brother had sort of a change of heart as far as the fans go. You said that you were sick of being called a hillbilly and then proceeded to dress like a hillbilly, and you even unmasked yourself. What can you tell us about what was going on with you? What caused you and your brother to do such things?
Well, the show before that, we were out there, and I got my, you know, I lost my match on disqualification, and then he lost his match. But then they, you know, were trying to take things further with them, and so I went out there, saved his, you know, cleared the ring, and then these two no-names called the Contract Kilters came out down, and so we just got tired of being overlooked and decided to go with the hillbilly attitude.
And you mentioned in your interview at that show that people had called you hillbilly for years. Which people were calling you hillbillies? Was it in the ring, out of the ring, fans, wrestlers? Where did the hillbilly aspect filter into this?
I believe it was more the fans than anything else. And, you know, being a hillbilly is not a bad thing. You know, so I basically changed to blend in more with the crowd, and I think so far it's working.
Well,
it went over pretty well.
I get to see people dressed as a hillbilly at an SCW show, but if you think it makes you blend in, so be it. So be it. Now, in professional wrestling's history, which is very long and storied, there's been a great number of hillbillies residing in our industry. Hillbilly Jim, the Scufflin Hillbillies dating back to the 50s, Haystacks Calhoun, Phineas and Henry O. Godwin.
Exactly.
Where would you rate yourself as far as the hillbilly ladder in professional wrestling?
Well, honestly, I'd say there's nobody better than Hillbilly Jim. But, you know, that's one guy I could definitely look up to. You know, no one's ever going to be able to replace that guy, and I just could sit there and pay homage to him and dress in the bib overalls, go out to the ring and have fun and do it that way.
Now, I believe it was last year, in the summer of 2017, there was an outdoor show at La Poblanita. The match pitted, I believe it was your first one-on-one match that I can recall, Granite versus Sasquatch. I called it,
oh, yes,
at the time, the most recent match in which I've ever been inside of a ring for. When you wrestled Sasquatch in your first one-on-one match, what was the mindset like for that?
I was a little nervous going out there, and, you know, got past that real fast when I climbed in the ring and saw Sasquatch standing across from me, and I just remember that match going. I thought he was going to go for a suplex. He ended up dropping me flat on the top of my head, and, you know, I couldn't do anything after that. I was totally out of it. But it was one way to get my feet wet in the ring.
Now, speaking of Sasquatch,
Battle Royal.
There is now a Sasquatch Pro Wrestling, an actual company in Washington. It also has held shows at Bremerton, Washington, at Poblanitas. Is there any interest on your part of taking part in Sasquatch Pro Wrestling?
If a company calls me up and says, hey, we want to use you, want to put you in a match, I don't think I'd have a problem with it. I'm pretty much comfortable with the talent that's out here, and I feel like I could put on a pretty good fight and try to make SCW proud.
One of the things throughout your career to this point that I have noticed is you do a lot of battle royals. You've been in many, many battle royals. What is it that attracts you to battle royals? What makes you want to jump in there anytime there's a battle royal on a card?
I just love the carnage. Just taking people, throwing them over the top rope. And then the two or three that I've won have been, you know, been total black. But I just love getting in there and causing havoc and watching some carnage unfold over the top rope, that is.
Now, obviously, you're going to be one of the bigger competitors in any battle royal on the independent circuit. Have you ever come face-to-face with someone even bigger than yourself in one of these battle royals?
I believe the only person that's really I sat there and actually looked in the eye during a battle royal would be the Goblin. He's quite the character, and he's about the same height as I am. But, you know, I'll still do whatever I have to do to keep my center of gravity down below the ropes so they can't just sit there and push me over like a toothpick.
That is true. Toothpick pushing, not the way to go in a battle royal.
No. And neither is missing the ropes on your way out and doing what you did in your show.
Well, you know, I was attacked by a bunch of rogue firemen, so if you avoid battle royals featuring rogue firemen, you're generally okay.
I will take that into advice.
No, there is still a dent in that floor to this very day. I was there a month ago. Still a dent in the floor.
Well, I will have to admit, you do have a hard head.
Apparently. Now, speaking of injuries, that's part of the wrestling business. For anyone that gets into the ring for any length of time, there's always going to be nagging injuries. Sometimes guys get hurt in the ring. It's just part of the nature of the beast. Have you suffered any injuries to this point in your days in the ring?
I wrenched my knee pretty good in one of the battle royals. Couldn't walk for about 2 weeks, but, you know, it's just like a football game, just like the NFL. Man, you take your hit, you go out there, you take your few days off, recover, and go back, do it again. Pretty much the only thing I can think of, yeah.
On said battle royal where I broke my face, I was out of a ring for 6 days, so I see your point.
Yeah,
recently on the sign of the Times recently, you were on there, and right there on the sign of the Times, live as we were recording it, you booked me to perform your wedding ceremony. You're apparently getting married. And I am going to officiate said wedding because I am fully licensed to perform that. Daifuku Dabashi, not the only sports entertainer with a license to perform marriages, funerals, and baptisms. I have one as well. I think this is going to be the greatest idea that you ever had in hiring me to perform this marriage for you. I have a 100% success rate with marriages that I officiate. Now, can you tell the listeners at home why it was that you chose me to perform the officiating duties for your upcoming wedding?
Well, because I've known you for quite some time. We have a little bit of a history, and I feel feel like you're part of the family, and I wanted to be, you know, a family type thing. I didn't want to bring in some nobody that, you know, that I really don't know or, you know, haven't really got to know over the years, and you're the one that stands out.
So take that, Debashi, and also Beast Barnett, you should pay attention. It's not too late. Fly me in. I can officiate your wedding as well.
Well, you know, the one thing with Debashi is I did put a little loss in his records at one point in time. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago.
I do recall that.
It was an outside show at Pablanita's during the Cinco de Mayhem weekend, and he got carried away with the ref, and the ref disqualified him, and then I called him out for the second half of the show. He turned it into a street fight. Tell you, man, that put my mom almost into heart attack status. And speaking of my mom, it will be 2 years ago tomorrow that she passed away. So I'm doing this for her because she didn't miss a show either.
At this point in the program, we've hit the point where we have a game we like to play called Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career. The first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of Word Association?
I am prepared.
Here we go. Paul Preston.
Very high flyer.
Sunny Days.
Talented, beautiful, and very energetic.
Pat Large,
total character. That's all I can say about him, man. He's a blast.
Sam Sims.
Boy, what can you say about him except he brings a whole new aspect to the show?
Paul Cerberus.
Short but mighty.
Annie Wraith.
Very talented competitor in the ring and someone I'm very honored to have as a friend.
Von Hess,
the one guy who got it started for me. He's like my brother.
Otis the Gimp.
Wow, what can you say about him? You got to watch your back when you're around that guy.
Kevin Sullivan.
The Taskmaster, one of the greatest talents in the ring that I can honestly call a friend throughout the years. Anyway.
Cole Wright.
Very energetic and spontaneous kid.
Hot Hands Mendoza.
Nice guy. Just don't get on the receiving end of his chops.
Lila Lodge.
The queen. I can't even describe her. There's no words for her.
Dale Houston.
Man, I go back with that guy back into the 80s, watching him in the other wrestling corporation. I tell you, he's family.
And the last one, last name is Damon James.
Very good teacher, very good at giving advice in the ring, and somebody I learned a lot from.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has questions as well. So, Des, help you as I pass things over to QT.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Granite.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm young and handsome. Yes.
So you got the face for radio. That's what you're saying, huh?
Yes, that's my handle. Yes. Yes. All right. Well, Granite, I'd like to expand on Sun Guy's word association, if I may, with five people. How about J.B. Moonshine?
I've seen him in a couple of matches at the SCW shows, and he's a definite hillbilly. I got to say that. He's a hillbilly.
All right. I'm going to put down in our word association column hillbilly. Very good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time ever on word association, we are going with a non-wrestler. This is groundbreaking. Granite, you are the first Turnbuckle Turmoil interviewee to have a non-wrestler in word association. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Freddie Mercury.
The best, vocal artist that you could sit there and listen to his tapes of just his vocals and just give you shivers.
Yes, his harmony with the other three members of the group was very good. The harmonies, yes.
Yes, Brian May and, yes, all those guys. It's a great group. I mean, I haven't listened to them since they got their new lead singer, but I haven't checked out Adam Lambert yet, as part of Queen. But I just don't think anyone can replace Freddie.
Did you know that Brian May has a master's degree bordering on a doctorate degree in astrophysics?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, okay. Well, now you know.
Now I know.
Yes. Okay. Very good. All right. How about Tom Petty?
A big loss to the music world when he passed away. He's very versatile, going from his to Traveling Wilburys, and he fit in anywhere he was.
Yes, and both have distinct voices, Freddie Mercury and Tom Petty. Yes.
Very much so.
Now, I have it from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that Tom Petty was a big wrestling fan. Yes.
Hmm.
Yes.
Nice.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
I do have my sources. Yes. All right. How about Jim Nabors, who recently passed away?
We could sit there and I was listening to him sing on an episode of Andy Griffith the other day. I was watching some of that, and it's like, wow, his voice. He had definitely a voice of his own. I mean, there was nothing like him either.
Now, you see, that was someone that I would have liked to seen as Queen's new singer. Yes, myself, Queen's new singer.
That I could have probably pictured that on a couple of songs. I don't think quite on all of them.
Wow, okay. All right. How do you think Jim Nabors would have done against Ron Von Frankenhaas in a Hell in a Cell match if he went back to the 60s when Jim Nabors was in his prime?
That's a toss-up. I'd still probably have to give it to Von Hess. But it would probably be a pretty close match, though.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I could see that very close, back and forth. Okay. Very good.
Be a back and forth, yeah.
And the last one in this groundbreaking word association, Bernie Madoff.
There's a good one for you.
Yes.
I'm speechless now.
Oh, okay. Well, I say Bernie Madoff kind of had the characteristics of the Million Dollar Man in a way, and Virgil. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, in his own way, though. And walked around with $100 bills in his pocket.
Oh, yeah, and stolen checks, yes.
Virgil had the stolen checks. You already know this. Just like Randy Zellers, you know, you got to watch your wallet when he's around.
Oh, there's one guy that we forgot, Randy Zellers. What word association would you, what pops into your head? What's the first word, Randy Zellers?
Well, it was funny because my first ever match in SCW was me and him and my brother as a tag team against Bad Blood, and I forget who the other person was, but you know, we ended up losing, like, you know, against them, but making my ring debut with Zellers. He's a great guy. He's fast. He's got a, you know, a little bit of a belly on him, but he doesn't let it affect him. So he's, I guess you can say, seasoned.
Oh, okay. All right. Very
seasoned.
Good. Yeah,
there you
okay.
go.
All right. Well, I'd encourage you, maybe Steindag can send you a link to our Friday interview with Randy Zellers. I've got to tell you, Randy Zellers did very good on the segment called Black Jeopardy.
Oh, jeez.
Yes. Very good.
I will have to check that out.
Oh, okay. Yes, Randy Zellers has that street smarts to hold his own on Black Jeopardy trivia. Yes. Okay.
I can see that.
All right. Well, at any time in history, could you have seen Bernie Madoff as a babyface in the ring?
With the personality, I don't think so. I just don't see that.
Oh, all right. Okay, well, Granite, that concludes our history-breaking word association where some non-wrestlers took part in word association but kind of became part of wrestling anyway, even though they were like musicians and actors. You did very well. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and that reminds me, I've got to ask Steindai if we can have an applause effect on the show. We're going to work on that. Applause. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Granite, I saw your YouTube video entitled Jackson Bourne versus Granite and Adam X, and this took place outside in the parking lot of La Problemita's in Bremerton, Washington. And it looked like an evening match. Do you prefer outdoors or inside matches?
I kind of like the outdoor. If the weather's good, it can't be like super hot outside, of course, because it's, you know, we have a black canvas and it does get, you know, it does actually burn, get body slammed. But with the no ceiling, you can actually sit there and you know, get up in the air if you want to do something off the top rope. So I like the outdoor venue. Unless you're in like a gymnasium, then the indoor would be perfect because you don't have to worry about a low ceiling.
Oh, all right. So, okay, low ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, there's some factors in there, of course.
All right. At the 1:45 mark of the match, Jackson Bourne missed it with a second attempt of a modified Stinger Splash, and the impact sent him sprawling to the mat. Ron Von Hess was providing commentary, and you can hear him saying on the microphone, Jackson Bourne is on the mat flopping like a fish. My question is, what is your favorite Northwest fish?
Oh, definitely salmon.
If I gave you a choice between smoked steelhead and smoked smelt that frequent the Columbia River near Kelso, which would you choose?
The steelhead.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
Okay, you're going to go with the bigger fish over the smaller smelt.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, after he was declared the winner and the referee raised his hand in victory, Jackson Bourne shoved the referee and he fell to the canvas. To your knowledge, was Jackson fined for this, and have you yourself ever shoved a referee?
I have never shoved a referee. I just don't feel like I want to, you know, get myself disqualified at all, you know, or have the, you know, match reversed. You know, I respect the black and white out there, and that's the way it should be. You know, unless they do something really stupid, then I could see, you know, hitting them with something. But I've been referee before, and I've gotten hit with the championship belts and everything else. I've got a big foot from Victor Price when he said I was counting too slow on one of his matches, and you know, I just don't see where the referees should get beat up unless it, you know, it's inadvertent, you know, something like that does happen, but you know, not intentionally.
Would you say some of the better referees in the Northwest may include Pops Ballard and T-Rex? Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I would think so. Pops, he knows his business, and T-Rex, I got a lot of respect for that guy. You know, he goes out there, he does what he's supposed to do, and does it to the best of his ability, just like Pops does.
Wow, all right. I'm going to agree with you there. Okay, very good. I saw plenty of matches where T-Rex was referee. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Jackson Bourne remained in the ring when you went back inside La Problemitas and Adam X walked outside. You two must have passed each other. Do you remember passing a baton to Adam X in much the same way as individual members of a 400-meter relay pass the baton between themselves in track and field? Do you remember this?
I looked at Adam. I said, you got this. And I just kept walking, you know. So, yeah, I pretty much would have, I guess, the proverbial baton, you know, was passed when he was walking out to the ring. Jackson was begging. He said he didn't want just the one match. He wanted somebody else out there. So, you know, we brought out one of the best we had and let him go do his stuff.
I heard Jackson Bourne call for him. Yes, call for another competitor. Okay, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you see a day where track and field will be combined with wrestling by such events as the baton handoff between ingoing and outgoing wrestlers and high jumping above and through the middle or top rope as a wrestler gets up speed with a running start from the locker room?
Oh, you mean like Sin Cara does? He goes up and over the top.
Oh, yeah, something like Sin Cara in a modified Fosbury flop, yes.
Yes. You know, I can actually see where definitely some, you know, some cross-country running would help your cardio, but I just don't see the whole...
Thank you.
I just don't see the whole passing the baton thing, you know, unless it's like the proverbial baton, like I said, doing the running, cross-country stuff, that's one way not to blow yourself up. And I've done
that
a couple of times. I've done that a couple of times, I'll admit it. I didn't know if I was going to make it out of the ring or not. Couldn't breathe. But, you know, when you start training, you got the other guys behind you going, hey, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. You just work through it.
Well, all right. I on your advice, I'm going to talk to DeFola DeBasi or Tex Thompson about that baton handoff. Okay. And combine track and field and wrestling.
There you go.
Okay. I'll use your name as a reference. Okay.
Why not?
Well, granted, did you yourself make high jump pits in your backyard as a kid And did you have to cut down a tree limb as a crossbar?
No, I would just sit there and do the old Dukes of Hazzard slide across the hood of a car. I never did the whole high jump thing. Yeah, I did the hood slides. I jumped up over the top of cars, the hoods of cars, and just, did the old bowling route thing.
Is that where you got your manual dexterity and grace in the ring, from hood car sliding?
I would have to say probably yes, the hillbilly method, yes.
Oh, wow. All right. Were the hoods of the automobile waxed with turtle wax for extra friction, non-friction coating slides? Turtle wax.
Actually, I applied the turtle wax, and then when I went to go wipe it off, I just jumped over the hood and used my rear end as the slide just to take off the wax. So it was partially, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Wow, an anatomical buffing. Very interesting. Anatomical
exactly.
Buffing. Okay. Oh, okay.
All
right.
You never know what you're going to hear on these interviews, huh?
Well, the anatomical buffing is a first. Yes. Okay. Well, granted, I also saw your YouTube video entitled The Sign of the Times, Episode 293, The Granited Edition. And you wore a Washington Nationals number 7 jersey. My question
37.
Is, oh, 37. Oh, okay. The way you were sitting, the 3 was folded. Okay.
Right.
Oh, all right. Is 37 the number that Strasburg wears in real life?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That is his number.
Do you see a time where baseball and pro wrestling are combined, such as when a player hits a triple and on his way to third, he has to avoid a clothesline from the shortstop?
No, but I could actually see that in the NFL. A guy running along the sidelines and nobody's in front of him. And then one guy steps off the sidelines, goes out, puts his arms up, clotheslines the guy before he gets into the end zone.
Oh,
I couldn't see
okay.
that in baseball, though.
Wow, all right. Burt Reynolds had something like that in The Longest Yard. Some big player clotheslined another player. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Longest Yard. Okay. The first Longest Yard. Okay.
The first one. It also happened in the second one, too, the one with the great Khali.
The second one as well.
Yeah,
oh, all right.
Great colleagues in the second one, along with a bunch of other WWE guys.
Yeah, Stone Cold was in the second movie. Yes.
Yep.
Wow, all
Goldberg,
right.
Brian Bosworth, who else was, yeah, Nelly, a bunch of people. Michael Irvin.
Wow, well, it's rumored that The Longest Yard, number 2, was in Sign Guy's 10 movie list of all time. The Longest Yard, number 2. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, Mr. Granite, during the first minute of your interview with Sign Guy, he told you of Dave Turner's failed podcast because he did not have a pamphlet. Are there any truths to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you are going to give Dave Turner a pamphlet for Christmas so he can have a second try at a podcast?
I may just have to do that. I got to keep him on the straight and narrow there.
Oh, okay, straight and narrow. Okay.
Straight.
I think
got to keep him going.
Yes, and a podcast would do that, and it'd fill up those empty time slots during the holidays. Yes. Okay. I'm just saying I'd like to see you as his first guest on a second try. First guest. Okay. All right.
That could be fun.
Well, at the 104, what's that?
I said that could be fun.
yes. Well, Mr. Granite, at the 104 mark of Sign Guy's episode 293, Sign Guy showed you an autographed photo of Gouge member see more snot. My question is, since the video was shot, have you befriended Seymour Snot on Facebook, or have you bought a pair of Seymour Snot eyeglasses?
No, actually, I have not bought the eyeglasses, and I haven't looked them up on Facebook. Some people
Oh, okay.
I just let come to me.
Oh, wow. A member of the Gouge Wrestler coming to you via maybe what he hears through an interview. Very unique. Very unique, okay? Well, I hope that happens.
Hey, it'd be kind of cool. That way it'd show, you know, there's actually people out there listening, paying attention, and wanting to look up, you know, some of the people from the Northwest.
Okay. All right. Well, I was shocked when you said no at the 2:25 mark of the video. You said no when Sangai asked if you did your own entrance music. Now, Sangai and myself are going to make the suggestion that you adopt the song Jesus Thinks You're a Jerk by Frank Zappa.
I'll have to give that one a listen to.
Oh, okay. All right, Jesus Thinks You're a Jerk. Okay, very good. Sangai then mentioned Buddy Highway. What do you think about this guy's body transformation? He's lost like 80 pounds, and he's power lift squatting 410 pounds for four reps and deadlifting 500 pounds. What do you think of his body transformation?
I think he's doing what he needs to do to, you know, get himself a little healthier, and I have nothing but respect for Buddy Highway.
Very well said.
Respect for that guy.
Very well said. Okay. I made the mistake about 3 years ago of awarding him fruit pies for being ranked the number one wrestler in Turnbuckle Turmoil's top 9 7/8 weekly rankings. I cut that out. Yes, I cut that out.
Wow. Yeah. Well, see, I have respect for the guy because it was him and I, the final two in a battle royal. He looked at me, he looked at the ropes, he looked at me again, and he said, wait a minute. He went and jumped over the top rope himself and eliminated himself and gave me the battle royal. So I don't know if he was intimidated by me or he just, you know, wanted to see the better man win that day, but...
Well, when he went over the top rope, did he do a 360-degree somersault with a 180-degree twist and land on his feet like Mary Lou Retton? Did he do that?
No, he did not do that. He actually just went and climbed the top of the turnbuckles over there, got up to the top of the corner, jumped off onto the apron, and then jumped down to the floor. It's very uneventful, but at the same time, it gave me that was my first Battle Royal victory.
Wow.
That's why it sticks out so much for me.
Well, for that victory, Battle Royal victory, you yourself should have been ranked number one in Turnbuckle Turmoil's top 9 7/8 Northwest weekly rankings. Have you yourself been ranked number one before? Can you recall?
No. Not that I ever recall.
Damn. Okay, keep a close watch on the upcoming weeks. We will be watching you very carefully. Okay.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
All right. And if you win, you get a fruit pie. Would you be okay with this?
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite flavor? Lemon, blackberry, cherry?
Cherry and apple both rank up on the top, so definitely I would have to say out of those, I'd say cherry.
Cherry, okay. All right. Okay. Well, granted, at the 2:57 mark of the match, Sangai held up a picture of AWF Women's Champ Casey Carlisle in a hot nurse's uniform. My question is, has anyone yelled out, hot nurse needed, when you have been injured in the ring? Hot nurse needed.
No, I pretty much just went home those nights and, you know, licked my own wounds, but no, I didn't get no hot nurses.
All right. What if Casey Carlisle obtained her MD or doctor's license at the prestigious John Hopkins University and she was giving you a physical? Would you be comfortable with the inevitable turn your head and cough portion of the exam?
Oh, of course, because having eye contact would just be awkward.
Oh, okay. All right. At the 3:33 mark, Sungai held up his smaller wallet-sized photos of Casey Carlisle. My question is, did you ever see the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza has a fat wallet and Jerry says that his wallet needs to go on a diet?
Actually, I think I might have, but it's been a while ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fat wallets don't seem to be a problem with, you know, in my book right now. Darn it.
Would you yourself be comfortable if George Costanza was carrying around Casey Carlisle photos?
Oh, I'd be fine with that. I don't see a problem with that.
Oh, all right. Well, how about if he was carrying around miniature photos of yourself in his fat wallet?
Yeah, I would probably have to sit there and take a second look at that and be going, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
Wow, all right, okay. Well, at the 3:37 mark, Sign Guy showed you my favorite picture, Casey Carlisle with a pillow. Have you bought any heart-shaped pillows at the Gap or Macy's since then and then wondered, why did I just have a hankering to buy a heart-shaped pillow? Have you done that since seeing that photo?
No, I have not done that. Can't say I have.
All right. Okay. At the 3:48 mark, Sign Guy asked you if you had bad knees, and you said no. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I've only had one knee operation my whole life, but, you know, it's a lot better now, so.
Oh, now, when did this knee operation take place? This could qualify you to get you in the bad knees club. Maybe. When did
it was about 7 years ago. I had a torn meniscus that was just a clean tear all the way through, so they had to go in there and trim it up and try to put it back together.
Okay, a torn meniscus. You know, meniscus kind of sounds like discus.
It does.
Yeah. It was at the track and field connection that I am very trying desperately to enact. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, Sungai mentioned in your match with the Killer Kilters that you had your hillbilly transformation. Do you identify yourself more with the Oklahoma oil worker hillbilly or the Tennessee hillbilly, Jed Clampett hillbilly?
If I would say Jet, that'd be like a ton of, I'd be like a millionaire, so. I guess I'd have to say Jed. The definite good hillbilly stuff.
All right, you're going to pick Jed Clampett over the Oklahoma oil worker. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Of course.
Have you any plans to contact Northwest manager Pa Moonshine and ask him if you can drink from the moonshine jug now that you're a hillbilly?
I was considering that. I've actually got him on Facebook, so I was gonna write him and talk to him about some of that.
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, Casey Carlisle almost became a hillbilly when she posed next to a barn. My question is, would Casey be your top choice of female wrestlers out there if you decided to drink some Old English 800 and go cow tipping?
If she was out doing it, I'd probably do it too.
Oh, okay. All right. And here is my last. Have you yourself seen one of my favorite Sign of the Times, episode 301, the Ding 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 Kid edition?
No, actually I haven't, at least not yet.
All right, well, that will be part of your homework assignment, the Ding 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 Kid edition. Sangha may be able to send you a link. Sangha was having problems with the bell ringer at BCW. He was always not ringing the bell when some guy singled for it. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that would explain it.
All right. And my last question.
We all know some guy's a little ding 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 himself sometimes, so that's okay.
Oh boy! Wow, you may be right, or yeah, that's a little bit controversial, you know. And we'll research it. Okay, research that. Okay. Now, the last question before I turn it back over to Sun Guy, can I be one of the flower children in your wedding?
I would definitely think that would be a possibility. I'd allow you to go and throw some flowers for me.
Oh, wow. All right. Let it be known officially that I am taking this Turnbuckle broadcast to put in my application to be a flower child at your wedding. Okay.
Okay. We can make that happen. July 2018.
Yep. Oh, okay. Well, now, what month are you getting married in 2018?
July 8th of 2018, so.
Oh, okay. July. I believe that's under the sign of Leo the Lion, the astrological sign. Leo, I think.
It might be.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
pay attention to all that. I just know I'm a Pisces, so.
Oh, wow, Pisces, like Kurt Cobain. Okay. Pisces.
Yeah.
All right.
He's the biggest celebrity out of this area. I'm the second biggest.
Oh, second biggest. Okay. Oh, boy.
I'm the second biggest celebrity out of the area.
All right. Well, good luck on your homework assignment of looking at the Ding 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 Kid, and thank you for your turtle waxing anatomical sliding part. That was a first on Turnbuckle Turmoil. Yes, very good.
Hey, I'm glad it could be a first to something for you guys.
Yes. Back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Grant, one of the things that a lot of wrestlers have been doing this last year, a lot of people from the independent circuit making their way over to Japan. I know at least four people that I have worked with on the independent set have gone to Japan in the last couple of months to ply their trade. Do you have any current plans in place to make your way to the land of the rising sun?
If I can sit there and get some more training under my belt, I think I'd go over there and you know, see what I can do, but I wouldn't want to disgrace any of their that what they call it traditions, you know. So I would definitely, you know, have to think about that one, or I'll talk to Von Hess and talk to him because he was just over there. So
he was, in fact, just over there.
Yeah, I saw pictures of him, and the ring was made of steel chain. I mean, the ring ropes. That's crazy.
Now, another thing that I know you have experience with is people that know the wrestling business. We've mentioned a few of them over the course of the interview today. But you've been around a lot of people that have a lot of knowledge in the wrestling business. Who would you say comes to your mind when you think of guys that really know the wrestling business that may or may not get as much due publicly as they should for really having an understanding of how this business works?
First and foremost, I'd have to say Price, Goblin Anderson. I would have to say Goblin's one of them. He paid his dues in the ring, but I saw him wrestling in Tacoma. I saw him, see him at SCW. But I think he could go, he could go just about anywhere and fit in. But I think that would be the number one on my radar right there would be Price.
Fair enough. We have a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give you ample time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you have, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite barbershop, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Hey, our next show in Bremerton, Washington, is at La Poblanita's on December 16th. You can see the Bremerton Hillbillies in action, I believe, against the Contract Killers. See if we can exact some revenge on these guys. It's a great show, great food down there. Guys, just come on down and cheer us on, and don't be afraid to be rowdy. And I also want to take this opportunity to say, I miss my mom. It'll be 2 years tomorrow that she passed away, but I do all this stuff because I know she loved it, and I want to make her as proud as I possibly can.
Well, thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. Hopefully we'll get the chance to do this again at some point in the near future. Fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling. You can find Granite and his hillbilly brother at Poblanita's later this month on the 16th, possibly against the Contract Killers. Should be an entertaining night there in Poblanita's. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll be joined by Blacktus Jack. And a week from today, we'll be back with Salt Lake City-based female wrestler Nitro Glycerin. Should be a good time. Get out there, support all the local independents, and we'll talk to you next week.
Once a minute.